This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Here we are back at it. It is the second hour of the Budweiser Sports Line, brought to you by our good friends at Bama Budweiser, who remind you to enjoy their products responsibly. Barry traveling with Troy Baseball. They're heading out to Texas Arlington for the weekend. So it's just you and me today, as they say. Barry will be back tomorrow from Arlington as we broadcast from Stivers Ford tomorrow, as where Price sells cars. Right now, though, our buddy Rodney Orr, he's the Tider Insider, joining us on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline here today. Hey, Rodney, good morning, sir. How are you?
John, doing great. How are you?
We are doing great. Glad you're with us here, as always, on this Thursday. Spring practice continues on in Tuscaloosa. And I got to tell you, Rodney, I'm usually picking up a vibe, a little story, a little tidbit here and there, but it's been kind of quiet. I mean, there's not a lot of earth-shattering info, even, you know, with the limited time people can be there to watch, or maybe some of the little stuff that they pick up here and there. But to me, it's been one of the quieter spring practices since Saban's been in Tuscaloosa.
Absolutely. It's been extremely quiet, John. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's, you know, everything has been kind of just going along. And it's not been a lot of chatter, not been much talk. Actually, to be honest with you, on TiderInsider.com, there is a lot more talk about the basketball team and the, you know, the NCAA tournament than there has been spring practice, which is kind of really unique.
Well, kind of refreshing as well. And I'm sure Avery Johnson would be happy to know that there's a lot of talk. Obviously, there's a lot of excitement about some of the signees that are coming in as well for Coach Johnson. And I know a lot of people have seen the highlight of Colin Sexton and the show he put on up in Chicago. Well, let's start with basketball. I mean, obviously, these guys that Avery Johnson has coming in, there's a lot of hype. And I did see the highlight clip of Sexton. I think a lot of people have. And then I've heard some people comment about him. And I don't want to say comparing him to some of the other greats that have come in and maybe had a one-and-done type career. But I have had some people mention him in company with some other greats. How would you rank or rate Colin Sexton based on former players you've seen?
Well, I mean, that's hard to do for me. Obviously, he's an extraordinarily talented guy. I mean, he can just about do it all. I think last night in that All-American game, he had 8 points, 7 assists, and 4 steals. And I'm not even sure we saw the best of Colin Sexton in that. You know, I mean, I think he probably could have done more even. I mean, he's really gifted. He can score. You know, he can just do it all, John. I mean, he can I think it's really exciting for Alabama fans, because this guy coming in, I mean, he has a chance to be, well, let me just say this. The expectations are so high surrounding this guy. I don't know that I've seen a expectation surrounding a player coming in this high, and I can't even remember when. Maybe Gerald Wallace or even longer. But there's certainly a lot of excitement about this. I can tell you on TiderInsider.com, the talk has been nothing but Colin Sexton almost the last few days.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well, and which is great. But certainly you don't want it to overshadow the other players that are coming in as well. And from what I understand, they're pretty talented as well.
Yeah, John Petty is one of the best players to come out of the state in a long time, out of up in Huntsville area. He's an outstanding player at Jemison. And They signed 5 new guys, John, but they also have a guy that's a transfer from Ohio State, Daniel Giddens, about 6'10", 6'11". I know that, you know, a couple of weeks ago I talked to somebody close to it, and they were talking about just how excited Avery Johnson is about Daniel Giddens and how good he thinks he can be and how much of a contribution he can make. He was a very highly recruited player out of high school, out of the state of Georgia, went to Ohio State, didn't really do much his freshman year, but, again, a very gifted player. Mentioned John Petty, a 6'6 player out of May Jemison, and Herb Jones from right here in the Moundville area, which is just outside of Tuscaloosa. He's an outstanding player. He's 6'7", about 185 pounds, a wing-type player. And Alex Reese is a forward, 6'9", 230 out of Pelham. And then they signed a kid out of Clinton, Mississippi, that maybe got a little bit of work to do in terms of, you know, he might be raw right now, but when they look at him and they think he can be a fantastic player as time goes along, Galen Smith, about 6'9", 220. But I know that they're extremely high on him, too. So, really, they have six newcomers for next year, and I know that they're extraordinarily excited about all of them.
Yeah, well, they certainly should be. A lot of excitement. I know last year Coach Johnson had kind of an unveiling party of who they were going to play non-conference. I do believe maybe they've got a return visit from Texas possibly coming up with their non-conference schedule. And then I read something earlier today that there's a possibility they could be playing Memphis as well next year. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not heard anything about the Memphis game. I sure have not. Now, Texas would certainly be, to me, would be a very exciting having them coming into Tuscaloosa. I don't ever recall Texas coming into Tuscaloosa, John.
I don't either.
You know, obviously. Yeah, that would be really interesting.
Yeah, it would be, and I'm sure Coach Johnson's got several others on the dock, and we'll release those later on as they did last year. Speaking of scheduling, I saw a piece where Greg Byrne, the new athletic director at Alabama, was interviewed, and scheduling came up. And Rodney, it certainly seemed to me in reading his answers to the question about scheduling that neutral site games are here to stay, particularly for Alabama.
You know, I know some people have different opinions. I really like the neutral site games. I know that because we're not going to have those home and home, you know, with the perennial teams, the Alabama, USC, so many years had, a few years had back in the 70s had some of the home and home. Penn State had that, the 10-year home and home with Alabama. Those things are just basically seem to be a thing of the past. And I really like opening on the on a big stage, you know, first week of the season against a team that's really, considered a powerful team or a perennial team. And I'm not real sure about Duke in 2019, but when you look at it, Louisville's not probably a team that we know they're good. We know that what Bobby Petrino's done there. But at the same time, I mean, I would like to see Alabama if they're going to continue in these games. You know, one game that really intrigued me was if they opened against Texas or maybe even Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I think that certainly would be a marquee-type opener. So yeah, I like those.
Yeah, you know, and I get it, Rodney. I'm with you. I mean, I think if you're going to play a big-name team, a Southern Cal, as they have done, which I thought even though they blew them out of the water, I mean, just the whole summer long, that name, that helmet, mm-hmm. that tradition, I think was really big and something that you're looking to do. But I'm with you. Duke, Louisville, I mean, I got to tell you, I wasn't real thrilled about Virginia Tech the second time or even West Virginia. But,
right.
You know, I've been known to be, a little hard to please when it comes to non-conference scheduling. So I guess they got to do what they got to do. But, yeah, the Duke is a head-scratcher. Louisville, they're not playing them in Atlanta. They're playing in Orlando and getting into that Florida market. A couple of things there. You know, we've always wondered why New Orleans doesn't host one of these games. Would it be hard to imagine, Rodney, that maybe LSU doesn't want New Orleans to host one of these games?
I'm sure they don't. I mean, you know, when you consider what Alabama's, what have they won, six in a row over LSU, not only that, but they went in and gutted that state in recruiting this past year. So I'm sure they don't want Alabama to have any more exposure over there, but I think there's a lot of venues out there that would be really good. And again, I would like to see the Notre Dames, Texas, you know, maybe in Dallas or maybe even Lambeau Field like LSU and Wisconsin this past year. That would be great. Or you know, somewhere else around the country that would be a great site. I just think it would be something that you know, the fans.
I've always
really
thought
like.
Chicago against Notre Dame would be a good matchup.
Yeah,
here's what we're hearing, though. Rodney, in this part of the world, as you would imagine, and I'm hearing it from Alabama fans, Auburn has a home-and-home with California. They got a home-and-home with Penn State. Why can Auburn do it and Alabama can't? And I really don't have a good answer for them.
No, I don't either. I mean, I'm not really familiar with Auburn's schedules or their future schedules, so I didn't know that. But, you know, again, it just doesn't seem like that's really something. Now, maybe the trend goes, you know how trends are.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually it ends up back where it started, it seems. But, and that might happen. And again, I think all of those were great. I don't, you know, have a problem with them. I do, again, you know, right now where we are, I do like these, as I said. But again, if you're going to do these openers, these marquee openers, you know, let's do it against the Texases and the USCs and Nebraskas or whoever it is.
Yeah. You know, we talk a lot about recruiting, Rodney, and maybe this is another reason why, to me, spring practice has been, I don't know, kind of a not as big of a news story as we've seen in the past. Maybe because Alabama fans know they've got a starting quarterback coming back. That hadn't been the case for the last several years, so everybody's been all frantic and gripping about who the quarterback's going to be, and most people believe that Jalen Hurts will certainly retain that position. So what I'm seeing and hearing and reading about is recruiting, and we know that, you know, in this state it's a 365 a day interest with fans, but I seem to see and read more about guys that are making visits or that Alabama is targeting. And you know, I'm talking about juniors and sophomores. Are you picking up more on that?
John, let me tell you, here's the truth of the matter, okay? Alabama's going to sign 22 players this year probably. This will be the first time in a while that they haven't signed at least 25. And they're obviously very selective anyway.
And what is and the why? And I guess, Quint, why 22 and not 25?
Well, they've got two, you know, they had two blue shirts that they're coming in this class, which means that they're going to count. Ultimately, they'll count against what Alabama's class, the next class, rather than count on last year's class, they'll count on the upcoming class. So, and that is Hunter Brannon out of Coleman, and also the kicker, Bulavis from Louisiana.
Yep.
So they're going to be a little shorter on numbers than what they. So they're going to be really selective. And actually, I think the recruiting process, to be quite honest with you, I think is slowing down a little bit. And I don't just mean for Alabama. What I mean by slowing down, I do think that, you know, we talk about trends, and it was, you know, for years and recently, it's been get all these early commitments. And I think it's starting to slow down and kind of reverse a little bit. And, you know, I think Alabama's still evaluating the just for their preliminary board. I mean, I think that they've got obviously a lot of names up there that they like, that they're still evaluating, so many names. And I don't even think it's close to really being, you know, that narrowed down. So and again, you mentioned all the younger players. Yeah, they are, and not just Alabama, but all these schools are starting to really, you know, court these younger guys, whether it's 2019, 2020, even 21 players. I think that is certainly a trend that is going in a direction where they're starting to hit those guys earlier than maybe they have in the past. But really, I wouldn't get too caught up because a lot of Alabama fans are asking, you know, why is recruiting going so slow? Are we, you know, are we lagging? Or no, that's really not the issue at all. It's again, I think it's by design. And I would be real careful because, like I said, I don't even think that they're that close to knowing exactly who all they're going to target. That'll come, you know, we still have the camps coming up in June, and as we move into the fall, things will really pick up.
Yeah, oh, and no doubt that'll pick up. All right, now what is the schedule for spring practice? Because as we all know, there seems to be some information that kind of trickles through, that kind of slips through the cracks, if you will, after Saturday scrimmages inside Bryant-Denny. When are those scheduled, besides the A-Day game? Because we're not going to see anything that's going to be earth-shattering there, but it's those two scrimmages on the Saturdays that are for select viewers, if you catch my drift.
Yeah. You know, John, I know there's a scrimmage on the 8th, which is not this weekend, but the next weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they're – oh, yes, they are scrimmaging actually on the 14th.
Yeah,
I think it is. Yeah, that's a Friday, so it's a little bit unusual.
Yeah.
You know, normally they scrimmage on the Saturdays, but I guess that's Easter weekend. And Coach Saban has decided, I think, that because of that, they'll scrimmage on Friday that week, which will be the 14th, and allow the players to go home for Easter weekend, and then come back and resume the next week and have A-Day on the 22nd. So so they'll actually have two scrimmages within 6 days, and no scrimmage this weekend, but practice is today. This will be practice number five to this point.
One last thing I did want to mention, I know we've talked about it. Spring is a time for experimentation, and I know they've moved some guys around other positions. How has that gone, and has any particular player or players really kind of, done a good job in terms of maybe solidifying a spot at a different position?
Well, you know, again, I think you're right. It's early in spring, and it is a great time for experimentation. And, you know, Trevon Diggs, who is probably a first-team wide receiver, to be honest with you, is working at corner. And I think he's been really impressive. I think they love his potential there as a cornerback, which is amazing because last year when he came in August, he was working at safety and wide receiver. And in one scrimmage, he had two touchdown receptions and two interceptions in the same scrimmage. So he's a really talented guy, and he's done well at the corner. Or he's, you know, kind of catching on very quickly. He's just a natural football player. So, you know, where he'll eventually stick remains to be seen. But Trevon Diggs is a guy you've got to find a way to get him on the field. So, but he's doing really well. You know, Minka Fitzpatrick has slid down now from safety after replacing Eddie the last half of the last season, Eddie Jackson. He slid down to that left corner spot. I think he's doing well. But, you know, a lot's going to depend on the continued development of some of those younger safeties. The name that I keep hearing the most is Xavier McKinney, the freshman from Georgia who enrolled early, doing a really nice job. Daniel Wright, another true freshman that's enrolled early, he's doing a really good job. Deontay Thompson is a redshirt sophomore from Texas who was highly recruited. He's really made a lot of progress back there at safety. So I think it's just how, you know, some of the other guys develop will determine where Minka eventually ends up. But they've got some options back there. Otherwise, John Ben Davis has moved from inside linebacker to outside linebacker, the redshirt freshman from Gordo, who is, you know, very highly recruited as well. I think it's more of a natural fit for him. Not sure he was, you know, extremely comfortable inside, but I think this is more of a natural fit. And when you look at him, he looks slim. He's 235 pounds or so. He can add some weight, but I think he can really become a guy, a force on the outside in terms of with his athletic ability and his rushing the passer. I think ultimately that's what he'll do. So, you know, those are some of the, you know, experiments really that come to mind.
Well, it's going to be fun to see how that all plays out over the next couple of weeks and through the summer and preseason drills in August. Well, you're always on top of it, Rodney. We really appreciate your time and all your insight. But for more of it, our listeners need to become involved in TiderInsider.com. Tell our listeners how they can do that.
TiderInsider.com. It's only $48 a year. You can get instant access with your credit card right now. Or if you prefer, you can send a check. There's an address there. But, John, that gives you access to all our premium information. We ran down basically every position earlier this week and the progress that was being made there for spring practice. And there's some video on the front page, Coach Saban's press conferences, Tider Insider TV, all those things you can watch for free. And plus our forums. I mentioned those earlier. It's pretty much nonstop in terms of chatter among Alabama fans.
Oh, you better believe it. Some good chatter there. I can attest to that. Hey, Rodney, as always, thanks for your time, my friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, John. Take care.
You too, buddy. Rodney Orr, the Tider Insider on our